Now I want to begin reading here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 5 and read down through verse 18 of this chapter. Luke chapter 8 and begin reading here in verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing that they might see, and hearing they might not understand. In seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no fruit, these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of testing, temptation, fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. Now, you and I can learn a lot from parables and from symbols and from allegories and shadows and types. David often referred to the Lord under symbols. And I think as we hear him refer to the Lord in different symbols and under different symbols, it helps us to understand what the Lord meant to him. So often you read in the book of Psalms where David referred to the Lord as his rock. The Lord is my rock. And you can understand what the Lord meant to David as a rock when you read where David said, I was in a horrible pit and in the miry clay. He was in a place where there was no standing. He felt his soul was sinking. He was ready to be smothered with the mud and the mire that he sank in. And he said, But the Lord heard my cry, and he brought my feet up and set them upon a rock and established my goings. Now you can imagine a man who had experienced such sinking in his soul to be brought out of that sinking and set up on a rock. You can imagine what that rock meant to that man. And therefore he referred to the Lord as his rock. The Lord is my rock. When my soul is standing on Him, He says, it cannot sink. He often was hunted by His enemies. He hid Himself in caves. He had sometimes to get food and drink wherever He could find it. We read that He was hungry. We read that He was thirsty. And He referred to the Lord Jesus as His shepherd. Now you can imagine what a shepherd meant to a man that felt like he was a sheep that needed guidance to find green pastures. He needed guidance to lay down beside the still waters, to find rest. He knew what it was to have need. He knew what it was to be led and that need to be met. He said, I'm like a sheep. I feel like a sheep. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So when you find David talking under these symbols of rocks and shepherds and the Lord is my high tower, it helps us to relate to what these things meant to that man. And then we can see what the Savior meant to him. And as we look at this parable of sowing of seed and this ground that the seed was sown on, it represents to us different aspects of salvation. And it does so in such a simple manner that you and I can relate to it. Because really, this parable shows us what we can't see with the naked eye. These parables shows us, really, what's taking place behind the scenes. We have the sower and his seed. Now, the Scripture doesn't say here in this parable who the sower is. It must not matter. We're just told in Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4, and here in Luke chapter 8, the sower went out to sow. But we're never told who the sower is. It can be a variety of people. It may be Moses. It may be Isaiah. It may be John. It may be the Apostle Paul. I sow, Apollos waters. But Apollos is nothing and Paul is nothing. Glenn may be the sower. But the sower doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's sowing the seed. Maybe someone is reading and the seed is being sown. But what is the seed? Now that matters. And we're told here in chapter 8 in verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. Whoever the sower is, the seed that's being sown is God's Word, not man's opinion. Not man's convictions, not man's commandments, but God's Word is the seed. Of His own will begot He us with the Word of truth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. And thirdly, the soil. Or, as Luke refers it to here, the ground. What is that? We have a sower. We have the seed, the Word of God. We have the ground that it's sowed in. What is that? Well, he tells us there in verse 12 and verse 15 that it's the heart. It's the heart. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart. So the word is sown in their heart. And we have four different grounds here, four different soils that's represented to us. And as we look at these different grounds, we learn something from all of them. And let us look at them this evening just for a few minutes. And see what we can learn from these grounds. And I think as we look at them in this parable, we see in this parable things that we can't see with the naked eye. First of all, here in verse 12, We see three things about this first ground. Look at it here in verse 12. Here's the first ground. It's by the wayside. And let's see three little simple things about it. First of all, we see is this. The devil is there. Satan is there. Now, you can't see that with a naked eye. As you read to people, as you read to yourself, as others read to themselves, as they sit under the teaching of the Word and under the preaching of the Word, you can't see it in that lost person's heart. They can't see it. But as the Word is sown in their heart, the devil is there. Now, ain't that what he said? In verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and look at this. He taketh away. Mark said he catcheth away. He stealeth away. I think it was Matthew said he taketh it away immediately. That which was sown in their heart. Now that seems sad and cruel, doesn't it? The word of life that is there planted in that heart, the devil comes and he takes it away. But that tells us something about the devil that in other places in the Scripture we're told. That he's the enemy of man's soul. He's the adversary of humanity. And he knows when the Word of God gets in the heart, it's dangerous for his kingdom. So what does he do? He catches it away as quickly as he can. But before you begin, and before we begin to feel too sorry and pity this heart, remember the second thing here that we're going to look at. Sure, the devil, he was there, and sure, he took it away as quickly as he could. But notice something else here that I read to you. In verse 5 of this chapter, when the Lord Jesus told us about this seed that was sown by the wayside, the Scripture says here, it was trodden down. It was trodden underfoot. That's the first thing that happened, see? We say, well, the devil came and he caught it away, but not until this person trod it under their foot. Not till this person had no regard for it. And Mark tells us, and Matthew tells us this also about this man, that when they understood not the word, it was sown in his heart. He did not understand it. And he didn't care what it said. And he walked on it and trampled it under his feet. Then comes the devil and he snatches it away from him. Now you can't see what's going on, can you? I'm up here preaching and I can't see what's going on. You see different reactions of people's faces, but I've learned that don't mean anything. But what's going on in the heart, we find out right here from this parable. The word is there. The person hears it. They don't understand what's being said, and they don't care what's being said. So they trample on it. Don't have any regard, no reverence. Don't fear and tremble at it. So what does the devil do? He's permitted to catch it away. Snatch it right out of his heart. The third thing we learn in this parable right here is this. Why does Satan snatch it away? Why is he so anxious about this? Of all the things he has to be concerned about, why is he there in that heart waiting for the word to be sown there so he can snatch it away? Well, we're told that here in verse 12. Look at this. Lest they should believe and be saved. Believing is necessary to be saved. And the devil knows this. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So he snatches it away, lest they think upon it. And come to understand it and believe it and be saved. When people have heard the Word of God and the only response to it is negative, now we know why, don't we? They don't understand. They don't have any regard for it. And the devil has stolen it from their hearts. That's the first ground we see. Now look at the second ground. Here in verse 13. And they on the rock. Here's the seed that was sown on the rock. Another one of the writers calls it stony ground. And there are some things about this seed and this ground. The first thing we see here about this one is it was received with joy. Notice that in verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they have heard receive the word with joy. Mark tells us they receive it immediately with gladness. We've seen people like this, haven't we? One day they have absolutely no interest in the gospel at all. And suddenly through a message or someone will take their Bible and open up the Bible and show them some aspects of the gospel. And immediately they become interested in it. Immediately they believe it. And immediately they're full of joy over it. We've all seen this happen. And in a way, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not told to wait until tomorrow to believe, are we? We're told now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You and I aren't. When the Apostle Paul told that Philippian jailer what to do to be saved, he didn't say, wait until tomorrow and believe. Or go do this and go do that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know of any scriptures that would give us permission to tell men to delay to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But I want you to know this. In this case, there was something definitely wrong in immediately receiving this word with joy. And here's what it was. Here's what it was. There was no depths of soil. The ground was not broken up. He received this seed, but he received it on the little amount of soil that was on top of the ground. And there was no deep soil for the seed to go downward and get a root system to it. It immediately sprang up. And the scripture says it was scorched. Luke and Mark and Matthew, especially Matthew, said when the sun came up, it was scorched because it had no root to have any moisture in it. The plant, the seed, was just on top of the ground. And the ground underneath it was so hard, the seed could not go down. Everything went up. I planted some tomatoes one time, and the person I bought them off of told me, he said, what you need to do is plant these plants about halfway down in the ground on the plant. They were about a foot tall, big, beautiful plants. And he said, you bury it about half of them. I thought, man, I planted them down the ground, and they looked like little tiny miniature plants when I planted them down the ground. And my neighbor got the same kind of plants, and she planted hers. They looked that high. You could look out through the garden, and my plants looked like little swivel-up things, and hers big, giant, tall plants. But what happened, you see, I planted mine down deep. They had a root system. They had opportunity to go down and get the moisture. And after a while, you saw the difference. When the sun came up, the top of the ground was scorched and hers began to wilt. What happened here, Luke tells us there was no depthness of soil, so the seed suddenly came up. He just jumped right up out of the ground. But there was no depthness to hold in the moisture. And when the sun was risen, it was scorched. Now, what is this sun? What is this scorching, this heat? Well, he tells us here. It's temptations. It's trials. Matthew and Mark tells us it's tribulations and afflictions. And, boy, this comes right back to what I've told you so often. The minute you see someone interested in the things of the Lord, he's interested in the things of his soul, you better watch out, because trials are coming. Trouble's coming. If he professes God to be his, if he professes to know God, his profession is going to be tried. And as soon as this seed sprung up out of the ground, what do we read? In time of temptation. In time of testing. Afflictions come for the Word's sake, is what Matthew and Mark say. Tribulations come for the Word's sake. And what happens? Fourthly, we find what happened. And this is so sad and so fearful. But verse 13 tells us here what happens. In time of temptations, they fall away. They fall away. Afflictions are there to test their faith. Tribulations are there to try their faith. And what does it do? It overcomes their faith. And they're offended, Mark tells us. And what happens? They fall away. They fall away. Now that's fearful language. I don't know of a man, I don't know of a Christian that hasn't fallen. Christian men and women fall. But there's a vast difference, brothers and sisters, in falling and falling away. These fell away, never to be recovered. You can fall and be recovered. But to fall away means you're gone forever. There is no recovery. And here was the problem with this ground. It wasn't dug up. It wasn't plowed up. The seed was sown in it. That is, the seed was sown in their hearts, and immediately, without any consideration on their part, without giving any serious thought, they just received this word, and they were so happy. They were so joyful. But then, in the morning, when they were tried and afflictions come, they said, I had no idea it was going to be this bad. I didn't know it was going to be this tough. And so they're offended. And they go back and never return. We've seen that, haven't we? We've seen that. We've seen people receive the word and they were so happy. They were so joyful. But then they suddenly begin to wither. And they withered right before our eyes. And you never see them again. Well, we're told here what takes place in the heart. So there we have the devil. Here we have these trials, these afflictions on this shallow ground. And now verse 14, here's the third ground that we look at. And this has to do with thorns. And read it with me there in verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Now, you notice these here seem to be more hopeful than the other two grounds. There was no hope for the first ground. There was some hope for the second ground. It at least sprang up. But we're not only told that this sprang up, but look here, and it says they went forth. They had some progress about them. They made a profession, and there seemed to be some hope for it. They went forth. I had an apple tree one year. And I don't know what happened to it, but it was loaded with blooms. It was just loaded with blooms. I sprayed it to get the bugs out of it, and it looked so good. Then I went down there one day, and all the blooms were gone, and I started looking for little apples. You know how little apples will come out of the bloom? And there was nothing on that tree. It seemed to have such potential. But something happened. I don't know what happened, but something happened. That the blooms fell off and it did not produce any apples. And that's what the evangelist here is saying. They received this word and they seemed to have such potential. It seems like this seed has germinated. They're going forth. They have blooms. And you watch them. And their profession seems to be so real. And you think, boy, what fruit is going to be upon this tree? And then suddenly, what happens? Well, we're told here in verse 14. They go forth and are choked. They are choked. They become unfruitful. What is it that chokes it? And Mark says, and this is amazing to me. Mark said the word is choked. That's difficult to understand. The word is choked. And I think later we'll see the problem is not in the word. It's the heart. The problem's in the heart. What the heart does with the word. But it's choked. And he tells us here and the other writers what chokes the word. And look at this. It is choked with the cares of this life. It doesn't categorize what the cares of this life is. It just leaves it to us to determine that. What cares do men have in their life that they become so anxious about that it chokes the word and they yield no fruit? They'll have to determine that themselves. I'll have to determine that myself. This world is full of cares. But when they get into the heart with the word that's there and chokes the word and hinders the fruit and stops the fruit from coming forth, that's dangerous. And he said not only the cares of this life, but the deceitfulness of riches. And whatever that is and all that entails, I don't know. You'll have to figure that out for yourself, and everybody will have to figure that out for their sake. In whatever sense, what riches you have, if they hinder us and hinder the word in our heart from producing fruit, and brothers and sisters, that's when it becomes dangerous. And thirdly, he said, the pleasures of this world. And another writer said, the lust of other things. Whatever that is. And then we have the fourth ground here in verse 15. And look at this. Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now here's some things we see with this. First of all, Matthew tells us that they heard the word and they understood it. Now Luke doesn't tell us that. But Matthew tells us that about it. The first thing they did is when they heard the word and they understood it. Now what does that mean? They understood the word. Did they understand everything they read? Well, of course not. Did they understand everything they heard? Of course not. But they understood enough. They understood enough. Whatever that is, they understood enough. When they heard of their need to be saved, they understood that. They understood that. When they heard of who must save them and how they must be saved, they understood that. They understood that. When they heard of the holiness of God, when they heard of the exceeding sinfulness of sin, when they heard of the need of Christ and His blood to wash them, His righteousness to clothe them, they understood that. When they heard of the necessity of repentance, when they heard of the necessity of believing in Christ, when they heard of the necessity of giving themselves up to Him to be saved, they understood that. They understood that. When they heard that the devil would seek to devour them, and they heard that their faith would be tried, when they heard they would be allured by the riches and the cares and the pleasures of this world, they understood that. They understood that. When they heard they would have to wait on the Lord, when they heard they'd have to be watchful and prayerful and patient, they understood that. They understood. Ain't that so important? The first ground, we're told definitely, they did not understand. They did not understand the Word. And secondly, about this good ground is this. He said, in an honest heart. Not only did they understand, but they had an honest heart. A sincere heart. Brother Barnard used to say, an honest man don't go to hell. They just don't go to hell. A man that'll be honest with himself and not let his heart deceive himself. A man that will be honest with God, honest with the Word of God. I tell you what, he'll be a saved man. He'll be a saved man. Now, an honest man walks in the light as God is in the light. He don't have any doors he closes upon his heart and forbids the Lord to go there. He lays his heart bare to the Word of God. He's honest with himself. He's honest with his fellow man. He's honest with God. He's honest with this Bible. Now you take a man like that, and he's a saved man. He's a saved man. Not many honest people, folks, in this world. People's not honest with themselves, are they? David said, Lord, search me. Now that's honesty, ain't it? Search me, Lord. Don't let me be deceived. I know that I can deceive myself. Search me, Lord, and try me. And see if there's an evil way in me. See if there's something in me that's contrary to you. And cleanse me from it. And lead me in the right way. In the way of truth. And honesty and in sincerity. Larry comes back to holding that paper up to the light, though. Transparency. That's what it means. That's what honesty is. Transparency. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk ye as children of light. Honesty. And something else is said here about this that distinguishes them from these other three grounds that we're told there in verse 15. Having heard the word, they keep it. They retain it. They retain it. What does that mean? Well, it means that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ 20 years ago. And they still believe today. It means they came to the Lord Jesus 20 years ago. And they're still coming today. They had a need of Him, a felt need of Him, 20 years ago. And they still feel a need of Him today. Repentance began in their hearts 20 years ago. And they're still repenting today. They got in the battle 20 years ago. And today they're still fighting. That's what it means. The fruits and the graces of the Spirit were implanted in their hearts 20 years ago. And all those fruits and graces have done is increased. They've never withered away.
They've never died. They've retained the Word in their heart. They have laid hold upon the Word of God and they refuse to let it go. They retain it. They fight to keep it. They just don't talk of obeying. They don't just talk about keeping the Lord's Word and loving His commandments. They do it. They do it. They do it through much infirmities. Some do it better than others. Some have 30-fold fruit, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But every last one of these, they heard it, they received it, they understood it, and they kept it. They retained it. In an honest heart. In an honest heart. I think the difference, as you and I have looked at them this evening, in these four grounds, it's not the Word. It's the same Word that was sown in all of these hearts. But I think if we'll be honest about this, the different results was due to the ground itself. The first ground was not prepared at all. We're told it was by the wayside. All of us know what that is. It means it was outside where the ground was even tilled any at all. It was over in the ditch lines. It was over in the fence row. That's the wayside. And then we're told of that ground that was stony. It was only tilled a quarter of an inch down. Whoever tilled the ground did not go deep enough to break up the fallow ground. It was still hard down underneath there. That was the trouble. That was the trouble. And then the third ground you and I studied about, it had been tilled. There was no doubt it had been tilled. But whoever tilled the ground was not careful to pull these thorns, these briars out of it. They sprang up with a word, they came up with a word, and they choked the word out. It was only this last ground that was absolutely tilled up, was absolutely gone down deep and turned upside down, and tilled it up and softened. It's the preparations, brothers and sisters. It's the preparation. That's why the Scriptures tells us, keep your heart with all diligence. It matters. It matters how you receive the Word of God. It matters. What I see as I read about these grounds, it proves over again to us the need for a thorough conversion. We must be converted, brothers and sisters. We must be converted to the Word of God. We must need it and desire it and believe it and keep it. And whatever is there to hinder us keeping it and believing it and retaining it in our hearts, then it must be laid aside. It must be rooted out. Whatever is in any of our lives that is choking the gospel, that is choking the Word of God, I warn you, I encourage you, it must be rooted out of your heart. Whatever it takes, through much prayer, through much agony, it must be rooted out. Don't be so presumptuous to say, I was a believer yesterday. We read about those fellows. I believe 20 years ago. Whatever stands in our way of bearing fruit must be dug up. Keep a tender heart. Keep a heart of flesh. You say, Bruce, I can't. You better. You must. Find yourself alone. Take Solomon's word. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, prepare my heart. The preparations in the heart of man is of the Lord. Then go to Him and say, Lord, prepare my heart. When I read, prepare my heart to hear and retain and believe and obey Your Word. I don't know about you. I don't know what your routine is, especially on the weekends. But on Saturday evenings especially, and on Sunday, when we hear the Word probably more than any other time of the week, I'm always asking the Lord, prepare my heart. Mm-hmm. Teach me, Lord. Teach me this weekend. Whatever's in me that's contrary to You, oh, give me grace to root it out. Break down every idol. Pull down everything, every foe that's against You, and set up Your Word in my heart to bear forth fruit. I want the Word of God to be in an honest heart. I want to be honest. May God bless His Word this evening.